lack of beer choice just doesn't make sense to me.
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome to episode 80, Dave. This is quite the momentous occasion. We're almost to the big 100, huh?
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. I think on the big 100, we should have some stunt of some sort. I don't know what, but we got to have something.
Sounds good. Sounds good. We got a bit of time to plan it out, but yeah, that sounds great. You know, it's funny. We see a lot of podcasts come and go, and I hope that that we are around long enough and keep having interesting stuff to talk about to keep the show going for a while. Because I think it's, for me, it's a lot of fun. I hope for everyone listening, it's cool to kind of follow along with what we're doing.
Well, I certainly enjoy doing this. And now that I've got Recapture, there's a whole new slew of things for me to discuss and work on and talk about. So I don't see us slowing down anytime soon. So.
Yeah, yeah, cool. And so before we get into kind of updates and stuff, so Big Snow Tiny Conf for you is next week?
Big Snow Tiny Conf next Monday, and I am so excited about it. I just saw the snow report last night. There's going to be 2 inches on Monday, 4 inches on Tuesday, our first day of skiing, and another inch on Wednesday. So it's like fresh snow every day.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. I sent that out, and Breck Palumbo emailed back and was like, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So everybody's excited. The extra slot, I wasn't able to fill it. There were a lot of people that came up and said, yeah, I'm interested, but they just couldn't make the logistics work out. So we got 11, which is okay. But it's looking like a fantastic conference. I've heard some of the topics that people are going to talk about. There's going to be a discussion about the Wild West days of Amazon FBA and some B2C stuff about how politics has impacted the B2C space. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the acquisition stuff that I learned that makes you a better business owner. When you buy or sell a business, just knowing these things beforehand. So yeah, there's some good stuff, and it looks like it's shaping up to be a really good, diverse crowd. So I'm super excited about next week. And if you're not on the list for next year, you totally should be. Go to BigSnowTinyConfWest.com. And at the very bottom of that form, there's a little link that says sign up for next year. So get on the email there, and we'll be happy to announce it. We usually start the announcements sometime in September, and that gives us enough time to reserve the condo and talk a little bit about, you know, what people want to do and stuff like that. So, and next year we're going to coordinate Europe, East, and West so that we're not all on the same week. I think that'll help a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think we were three weeks earlier than you guys, I think. If I know East and West are on the same days this year. I would say looking at especially our snow this year, we haven't had hardly any snow. And then the last 2 days here have been 50 degrees. So all of the snow is melted. So we got very lucky with the days we had good snow. And I will look next year to maybe do it later, like March. Because everyone's saying that the weather here in March is really good for skiing and that maybe middle of January was too early. So lesson learned on my side. It sounds like you guys are going to nail it with like peak ski snow season. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally hit or miss. Like last year we had snow, a lot of snow the week before, but nothing the week of. And it was actually sunny and warm. The weather was beautiful. Snow was good. But there wasn't anything fresh. So you can't have it all. You know, Everybody had a great time. Either way works. It's just when the snow sucks and it hasn't been snowing for weeks, that's the bad part.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fortunately that doesn't happen very often at Beaver Creek. They get very consistent snow, so that's good.
Cool. Neat. Well, man, I have been we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but I have been the biggest, I've been working the biggest stretch of, I'll say, like, evergreen work that I think I've ever had with Podcast Motor in the last week and a half. Just working on, like, sales funnels and optimizing Facebook ads and autoresponders and working a lot in Drip. And it's been a lot of fun. But, man, this is I think I alluded to it when a few episodes ago, talking about learning how to sell products, whether it's, you know, our course or looking at our hosting platform coming out and selling those things. It is a totally different animal. It's a ton of fun, but it's like kind of starting from scratch in a lot of ways here in the last couple of weeks. But it's been really interesting, and I feel like a much more complete entrepreneur at this point, even just a few weeks into it.
Are you feeling more fulfilled as an entrepreneur now?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I told my wife I've been working really hard and a lot of hours, but I feel really good about it just because I know that, like, the work I'm putting in now to, like, really understand the concept of, like, cold, warm, and hot leads, both in terms of, like, how you email them and what kind of Facebook ads you present to them, and, like, retargeting versus cold leads and all this kind of stuff. Like, I'm learning it and it's really making sense. And then, like, I'm implementing it into my business now, but it's the kind of stuff that I'll understand forever, you know? And whether, you know, I do this business for 10 years or start something else, like, these fundamental things about learning how to identify different segments of your potential market and market to them in the most appropriate way is awesome. And the tools out there now, like Drip, And you know, the detail you can get with Facebook ads and customization of email is just amazing. And we're seeing some really cool results already from it.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Love to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to sort of compare some notes. I know you're probably not too far away from driving some new traffic to recapture. But man, the detail you get into with Facebook ads, we still have to get someone on to talk more about this because I'll just pick their brain for like 3 hours. But yeah, it's like an endless amount of detail that you can get into there. But man, we're seeing some really cool results. We're getting really good leads for, you know, 50 cents clicks, and then we're converting it at what I think is a pretty good rate. So it's been cool to build out the whole funnel from capturing and then the autoresponders and you know, putting them in different workflows and Drip and stuff like that. It's cool to kind of see, now we're a week or so into it, to see some of those people start filtering through the funnel is pretty cool.
I would definitely love to hear that on a follow-up episode, like say 30, 45, 60 days out to kind of see, because you're not really going to get trends this early, but it would be nice to see how they play out in the long term. Because I don't know what your cycle is, like how long you're, you know, running them through the autoresponders and how long it takes for them to become a lead and, you know, how often or how quickly they're going to buy versus, you know, the nurture cycle and things like that. So I would love to hear how effective that is, you know, in a couple of months when you've got more data under your belt. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like a lot of things, probably, like when you start to understand something, then you realize that, well, this over here is just fucking broken in your business. So you got to go fix it. And then once you fix it, then the other thing sucks now and you got to go fix it. So like I'm totally rewriting our autoresponder series. And it's the one I wrote like in the first month of Podcast Motor 2 years ago. Now it's going to be like 2 weeks long.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. With videos and downloads. It's really awesome. But it's nice to have like a one thing that we're driving everyone to that is really awesome now. And it's the front end of selling the course, and it will also sell what we're calling Podcast Motor Connect, our hosting service for Seriously Simple Podcasting. So it's nice to have, now that I have some clarity around like the different products that we're selling and the people that we're selling them to, redoing the autoresponder just makes a ton of sense. So,
you know, that comment that you just made, it's amazing when you understand something, just how you realize how broken everything else is.
Yeah.
That comment resonates with me a lot because as I've gone back through Drip, so I've been running Drip now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I've even forgotten when I signed up for them at this point. And I just sort of threw them onto the plugins at first, and then I wrote I had the autoresponders written, and I dropped those in there, and then I just kind of let them go on autopilot, and I haven't really spent a lot of time going back and optimizing them or changing them or going to these advanced workflows. But now that I'm in Recapture and I'm going back through all of this stuff and I'm walking through a SaaS-specific workflow as opposed to the ones I designed for the plugins, I'm just realizing how much shit is broken in my plugin autoresponders, and I'm trying to restrain myself from going back and actually fixing those because that's not where the value is coming from me right now. But yeah, I mean, I just realized that they're very primitive at this point, and I could be doing much more. Like one major thing here, I could be segmenting much better from the website ones when they come in to say, just ask them a very simple question. Are you a site owner or a freelancer? And then based on that, I could send them to two different entirely focused series on things that they would want to know about building the directory that isn't on the other person's plate.
Mm-hmm.
Then also later send them more relevant content, because right now I just sort of like throw both of those into my general content every 2 weeks and send it out to the email. And, you know, I have a mild unsubscribe rate. It's like around 0.6% or something like that. But it's every single time that it goes out, I get about 0.6% of people that are like, eh, I'm not interested in this anymore. But if I had something more focused, I bet that would drop and I would probably see engagement rates go up. But, you know, I mean, I'm still getting good engagement rates. I don't want to, you know, indicate otherwise. But just going through this process again makes me realize how much more I could do in the plugins if I wanted to. But that's not the focus right now. So,
Yeah, I mean, we're tagging people from their entry point, which, like you said, right now is not terribly important, not as important as I think it will be later once they go through the whole first part of the funnel. But afterwards, you know, then send them into a different workflow based on where they signed up and what action they've taken. But yeah, I mean, I think so much of the automation, whether it's automating your Facebook ads or where the pages you're sending them to or what happens when they go into something like Drip, is so important at the beginning. Because if you don't do it at the beginning, you can't play with it later. But if you got the tagging and you're tracking those people early on, then you can go in and play with that stuff later. Really easy. But yeah, segmenting is the hardest one to get. I don't know if you follow what Brennan Dunn is doing with his new Mastering Drip class. It is amazing looking. I haven't purchased it yet, but I probably will. I mean, you look at his site now and it is everything you see on his site is custom to you and the things you've done in the past in Drip. So he knows that I'm not a freelancer, and so he's showing me like sales related stuff. It's amazing. It's the next iteration of something like Drip, even, you know?
He is so hyper targeted in his stuff. Yeah, that's exactly what I want in Recapture. In fact, I know he's promoting Mastering Drip right now, and today is the day I was actually gonna buy it. I asked him some questions about it yesterday, whether all the videos in the back were finished, and he indicated that they were. So they weren't a while back when I asked about it originally. So now that they are, I'm ready to jump on it, because there's very specific pieces. Like, you know, obviously I have experience with Drip, so I don't need to go for the very basics about tagging and segmenting and stuff like that. But there are, like, he has one about SaaS onboarding workflows, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'm all over that one.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. Because he's obviously consulted on other clients and has ways to handle that. And I'm struggling going through that right now, figuring out, all right, should this be a tag? Should this be an event? And he's already done all that. So why reinvent the wheel? So it's like easy $500, massive value that I would get out of that. So that's awesome.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so he has a $500 and a $1,000 option. It looks like the $1,000 option, of course, has like all the really, really interesting stuff. It's funny. I was looking at this, and at the same time, Derek Halpern is releasing Yes Engine, which I know you had talked about previously. But yeah, both of those look like wonderful investments for your business.
Yeah, for me, clearly looking at the two of them, Yes Engines is less valuable to me right now, which is more about landing pages and trying to the psychology of convincing people that visit your page, as opposed to the customization of Drip, where it becomes hyper-targeted to you based on your behavior on the site, which I think is more valuable in this case. But it totally depends on what you're looking for. You know, Yes Engines is the right thing for some people. It's just not where I'm at right now. So
yeah. Interesting. Well, how are things going with Recapture?
So Recapture has been, you know, this last week, I've just had a ton of logistical crap to deal with. I've got Big Snow Tiny Conf coming. Last week, I was actually out at my freelancing client, so that really ate into my time while I was out there. And then this week, now that I've come back, you know, got to make sure that the catering's ready and coordinate with the arrival and ski rentals and stuff like that. So there's just stuff that's eating time out of my day, plus regular support. And then there was this thing that I haven't done actually yet, which is, you know, after the business was sold, I should send out this, hey, look, I bought Recapture. Here's what's going to happen to the business. And I hadn't gotten to that yet. And yesterday I spent 2 hours sitting down crafting the perfect email. And I thought, this is something I can hammer out in 15 minutes. But 2 hours later, I'm going through, I'm like sourcing other people's stuff and then writing it. And then I rewrote it. I threw the whole thing away at one point. I'm like, this just sounds like crap. And I rewrote it and I sent it to the previous founders of Recapture. And they were like, this is awesome. This is great. That, you know, it's good from a founder perspective, but as a current customer, because those guys actually still use Recapture. They're like, this is totally reassuring. I'm like, that's what I want to hear. Great. So, you know, my 2 hours paid off. It just, you know, was a lot of work that I hadn't really thought was as important as other stuff, but I had put it off for so long. I was like, I just need to get that done now. So now that I've got that done, I'm sending that out today to a few key customers, and then I'll do the public announcement probably after Big Snow Tiny Conf. And then next week I've got, you know, 4 days that I'm just basically out, not going to be very productive because of the Big Snow Tiny Conf. It'll be awesome, but I won't be getting anything done there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been trying to schedule a local Node.js developer to do some pair programming with so that I can just get up to speed faster. Because if I'm sitting here staring at the code and I don't really understand what this is, I can spend an hour trying to figure it out, or I can have an expert sitting next to me and say, oh, this goes over to here, and save me that hour. So it's just going to be that much faster to fix all these little things that I need to do in order to get Drip running. That's like the main stumbling block I have right now. So I'd originally scheduled him for Friday afternoon. Then it turned out he couldn't make Friday afternoon. And then next week was a mess for both of us. So now it looks like it's going to be the day after Valentine's Day. We're going to finally get together and I can integrate all those little pieces. So just trying. And then I was, before I even got to that, I had to find him first. So I,
yeah, that was my question. Around. How did you find somebody? That's almost a bigger investment than finding a developer, is finding a developer to teach you.
Yes, it is. You know, I couldn't do this on Upwork because my goal was it had to be in person because I wanted to sit down next to them and get this information directly.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about AirPair first, and I was like, you know, I did that one time with SupportVine, and it worked out okay, but I didn't really feel like it was as valuable as this. So I wanted more of a pair programming experience face-to-face. So I Googled Node.js developer Denver, and you know, a bunch of results popped up, some stuff from AirPair, some stuff on Upwork, but there were actually some people who had this on their websites, and I'm like, awesome, that's what I want to see right there, some people that actually bothered to put this and try to promote themselves as freelancers. So I got a hold of two guys. They responded. One of them was priced more competitively than the other, and I think that their experience was pretty comparable, so I figured I'd try that cheaper guy out first because it's still going to be a fair amount of money. It's just under $100 an hour. And then I'll see how it goes with him. I've got a 4-hour block scheduled. And if I get most of my questions answered, great. If not, schedule another session. If it didn't work or I didn't think he was very good, I can always schedule with the other guy. Because he wasn't available until the end of the week that I'm currently scheduling anyway. So, yeah, it was a question of availability. So that's how I ended up figuring out who I was going to work with.
Interesting. And you think 4 hours will get you to where you can kind of do what you need to in the app just from a maintenance and a kind of updating perspective for now?
No idea.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a good start. And, you know, it was all he could really schedule to start with. So I thought we'd give it a shot. You know, I sent him over some legal docs for NDA and non-compete and stuff like that. So he's ready to sign those and we'll try it out. We'll see how it goes. You know, it may be more than one session. It may be, I may have it all done in one session. I have no idea. It's hard to say. So I'm going to let him have access to the code beforehand so that he can get familiar with the code base a little bit so that our session is more productive.
Yeah, because that's a big thing with developers is just kind of orienting themselves with what the hell is going on. I could see you wasting half of that time with someone if you don't send it over beforehand.
Exactly. And it's fine that he charges me for that. I mean, that's valuable still. Mm-hmm. And who knows, you know, if I get stuck on something, I now have a local resource that I can come over and say, hey, can I get 3 hours of your time to work through this issue or something like that?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, maybe as a longer term thing, maybe he would even be interested in doing some development. I don't know.
Yeah. $100 an hour is not crazy for a really good developer, I don't think, right? I mean, that's...
No, I'd say that's pretty average on the senior end, especially here in the United States. I found a number of developers on Upwork between 45 and maybe 80, 45 and 80, and they're located all over the world, but they all have 5+ years on Node.js. So, yeah, 90 to 150 here in Denver is not outrageous.
Yeah, we're paying $65 or $70 an hour. We did it by the project, but I mean that's kind of what it ends up being, I think. He's a PHP developer. But he's, you know, senior guy and he's working with WordPress. You have to know, you know, he has to know both PHP and Laravel development and WordPress stuff, which is, you know, slightly different even though it's in the same family. But yeah, you know, you're making a really great investment, I think, in your ability to manage that going forward. That's awesome.
Yeah, I just realized that I've got so many dependencies here. Like, I'm stuck in the middle in so many different ways. So obviously, I'm the bottleneck in Recapture because I'm the only guy on the team. Just that's number one, right? Number two, there's a lot of stuff I'm trying to do to boost sales and get all of that stuff up to speed. But because I don't know the code base as well, then I have to spend more time working on that. So there's bottleneck number two. Number three, there's still all the other plugin support and things that are still going on, and I can't just neglect those completely. So that distracts me and takes away from some of the time. So there's bottleneck number three. And then add to that, there's additional things that I really want to do to make Recapture growable, but I can't execute on those right away because I just don't have enough bandwidth because of everything else that I'm trying to get done. Like, I can't migrate it to a WordPress site. And if I can't migrate it to a WordPress site, I can't engage audience ops to start doing content marketing and, you know, stuff like that. So there's a lot of bottlenecks right now. And that doesn't even include, like, just releasing new features. There's a feature that needs to be released. That one I can just market and be done. There's another feature that needs to be finished first. So part of my up to speed will be being able to finish that feature. But again, there's only so many hours in a day and how long is it going to take me to finish that and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm feeling very bottlenecked, very stretched thin right now, and I don't really have the budget yet to hire a developer to really work me out of that. So I'm kind of bumming on that.
Yeah, that's an interesting spot to be. I feel you with the hours and the days thing and trying to either increase revenue to pay for someone else to do it or find more time or be more effective or something. I'm a bit in the same way. We've seen our focus is shifting more towards product and our hosting platform is almost done. We're going to start some user testing here next week probably. But as a result, yeah, we've been spending a lot of money on developing it. And now all of my focus is on trying to sell this and get the adoption up. But yeah, using so much resources for development, it kind of hampers a lot of the other stuff that you want to do in the business.
Yeah, the resource constraints suck. They always suck.
Yeah.
I do have something else to report that is very, very exciting. That is it's basically the culmination of 9 months of patience at this point, which shocked the hell out of me. I wasn't paying so much attention to this and I wasn't really keeping a pulse on it, but I just checked it at the end of the month. And I actually had a record-setting January for both of the plugins.
No way.
I had a record high for Business Directory and a record combined high for the two of them. And it was like a pr- pretty high double-digit percent growth over last January, where everything just crashed because I hadn't been advertising, I hadn't been promoting, and there was no organic traffic growth. I mean, I've seen 3 months of organic traffic growth, and I almost paid for an entire year of audience ops at the level that I'm currently at in just 1 month.
Wow. That's amazing, dude. That's incredible.
Blew me out of the water. I was completely taken aback by that. Did not see that coming at all.
Due to content marketing, you think, or what?
I have to attribute it basically 100% to content marketing because I've not spent any other time really promoting stuff. And since then, that's really the only thing that's been consistently going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man.
It's super exciting.
So that's amazing, dude. It's a little surprising because double-digit growth from content marketing, I don't know that you would expect that, right?
Well, okay. So in all fairness, let's just say it's not directly all content marketing. There is a natural seasonal January bump that I traditionally get after Christmas. So usually everything starts slowing down basically after Halloween, but my Halloween, or I should say my November and December months for the plugins were a little bit up from where they were last year, but they were also very steady, which is unusual because usually I see drops.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, I should have seen a bump in January. I didn't see a bump in January. So I continued the advertising that I had shut off last year. So that advertising obviously has some impact. It's not a direct measurable ROR. Like I don't see people clicking coming from that site over to here. But when I shut that off last year, I saw a drop in January where people weren't thinking about me. So this was about brand awareness.
Mm-hmm. The top of funnel stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I kept that in place all year long last year, once I figured this out, which was February or whatever. And after the panic set in and I did that, I put audience ops in place and I kept the advertising in place. So those two things were consistently on the entire year. And at the end of the year, I was seeing probably the last 3 months, the first time ever my organic traffic was growing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a combination of factors. I'll say that. But it was enough that whatever the combination was, it has now resulted in a jump in revenue, and that's obviously what I was gunning for in the first place.
Yeah, nice. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. We've seen a big jump in traffic lately, the last 2 months probably. I think our shift in focus has not resulted in an increase in revenue yet, just because I think a lot of our traffic is coming for different reasons now than our services. We've been beating the drum of content marketing for a long time, and I think it's finally to where we have that base of content on the site. You know, the number of pages that we rank for in Google, probably like what you're seeing now too, is high to where you're out there for a lot of the things that your audience is looking for. Because it does take so long to get there, you know?
It does. It's a total long game. So anybody who thinks that they're just going to jump into content marketing and get immediate ROI out of it in 3 months is high as a kite, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So we've been running some Facebook ads. I think I alluded to it earlier. So it's at a very sort of high level and basic. One of the things that we've seen just for selling Launch in a Week, our training course, is the concept of like the top of funnel stuff and brand awareness. But I think that it's a really valuable place for a lot of people to start, even if you have a brand already. And it's something that we're starting to run things like ads to blog posts and have people get on our email list and things like that. And the later places that will implement more paid advertising, it is kind of further down in the funnel, but then it gets more complicated. We've seen almost double our page views in the last 2 months on average,
from paid advertising. And I don't think it's all like directly from paid advertising. I think people are coming back after getting, you know, seeing a Facebook ad or something and visiting one of our blog posts or something. So it's funny. It's, I think it's starting to pay off in the snowballing of traffic a little bit. And now the hard part is, you know, what we've been doing, what I've been doing the last couple of weeks is really what to do with all those people once you get them in your world. And it's really fucking, it's really yeah. fucking hard. I mean, this is, you know, we're getting more page views and we're getting more people on our email list, and we're getting 20 or 30 people on our email list a day now, which I think is a lot. But
that's huge.
Yeah. But now, like, the hard part is, like, in this whole world of, like, you have a part of a lead, you know, and how do you nurture them through? And I think that's why, yeah, looking at, like, really using drip well and really continuing to increase brand awareness and stuff to get the people further down the funnel is so important. And just hard, like, conceptually.
Well, each of the three steps is difficult in its own right. You know, you've got acquisition, you've got nurturing, and then conversion. And each one of those has its own set of, you know, voodoo black magic that you have to master to get it right. And even though you do great at acquisition, if you screw up the other two, you know, you might as well have just not done your acquisition at all, because you're not going to do very well with a leaky funnel there. And that's a consistent problem. I think that every single site that is struggling with quote unquote marketing doesn't get one or more of those things. Like, they may have a great channel that they just sort of tapped into, but if they can't figure out how to nurture and convert them, then they're screwed. Or maybe you know how to nurture and convert, but you'd have no idea how to acquire. So yeah, now that you've got the acquisition piece nailed here, now you got to work on the nurturing next, and then, you know, nail them with conversion. So both of those are very challenging, because you really have to understand the audience very, very deeply to present them with stuff that really resonates, and then give your solution in the context of, you know, you've got this problem, and then they really agree, yes, I have this problem, and then they're like, I totally want it. Shut up and take my money, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the right message to the right person at the right time. All three of those have to be in place. And what I'm finding just from the conversions we are seeing is that it's almost all in email. We're running direct, like, retargeting ads to the sales page, and have converted some, but not nearly as many as through email. So, I mean, anybody who doesn't think email is the place to be, I mean, it, for me at least, and what we're seeing, and I think what a lot of people see, is that email is the place to close the deal. But to take someone from the awareness or the nurturing phase into a real sales campaign in a way that doesn't hit them over the head is I don't know. I mean, it's amazing, man. I mean, 2+ years into this business, in a little ways, we're kind of reinventing the business here by selling products primarily, as my focus, at least. You know, we're still bringing new customers in for our services, and that's continuing to exist and evolve and stuff. But the focus of working to build sales funnels is kind of, yeah, it's daunting, and but it's totally fun. I feel really fulfilled that the work I put in now is going to perpetuate for a long time, and hopefully kind of free up more of my time, and the business will do better as a result. But it's hard work, because it's a lot of thinking and being strategic, which I haven't had to do, but it's nice. It's a good and welcome challenge.
Yeah. And we've said this before on a different podcast, but I'll just reiterate again, the thing that has really influenced my thinking the most this past year, this past 12 months, is the book Influence by Robert Cialdini, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, the professor from the University of Arizona that talks about the psychology of influence. You know, that right there has had more of an impact on the way I write autoresponders and the way I put things into context than anything else that I've read so far. So if you're struggling with your marketing, your messaging, or whatever, I still strongly recommend that book. It's super, super awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll definitely check it out. We have a trip coming up, so I'll have some time to read, and or maybe I'll get it on audiobook or something. It's amazing. The freaking school here, the kids get 8 weeks off four different two-week breaks throughout the year. And so here in a couple of weeks, we're going to Greece for a week. So
nice.
Pretty fun.
Now,
yeah, winter break.
Is it a year-round school?
No.
They go all year, so they get a summer break too, mm-hmm. and then 8 weeks off during the year.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty yeah. nice.
I'm jealous. I have to say I'm jealous. I think that's probably better than the way that they scatter vacation around in our current school year. I hate it.
Oh, yeah. There's no like random Friday off. I mean, there's a couple like bank holidays here, but yeah, they really condense it down into 2 week chunks.
So, yeah, that's way more valuable, I think, for everybody. But, well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So my only other update is next week I am going to Germany to speak at FemtoConf. I think we talked about this a few episodes ago. So it's been fun putting together the slides and finishing them up here at the 11th hour. The guys are going to kill me. But yeah, I'm excited. I'll be talking for about 30 minutes, talking about Podcast Motor and productized services and really, you know, at this point, the evolution of what Podcast Motor is. So it's fun to kind of reflect a little bit about where the business started and where we came from and you know, now looking at what we're doing and the type of customers we're trying to serve and market segments and products and things like that. So I think it's in a way helped me kind of realize who we are as a business and where we're going. So it's been a cool exercise, but yeah, sprucing up my public speaking skills a little too, because it'll be the first time I've spoken publicly kind of about this. I did in my former job a good bit, but yeah, I'm really excited about going to Darmstadt and really excited to speak as well. It'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds like a good time. Say hi to Christoph and Benedict for me, will you?
Yeah, for sure. Finally get some good beer.
What is it? Annecy just doesn't have anything?
No, I mean, the French obviously do wine really, really well, but the beer is just horrible. It's all from Germany anyhow, but it'll be nice to go up there and, you know, sample the local flavor.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when I was traveling around in France, I was either drinking wine most of the time because we were in the Loire Valley, or I was in Paris where it wasn't hard to get like Belgian beer, German beer. So there was always a pretty decent beer selection around, but I've never traveled in smaller towns specifically trying to get beer. So yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's probably like in the US, like, you know, it's Heineken is the Budweiser. That's everywhere.
Well, I'm spoiled here in Colorado because you go to small towns and everybody either has a microbrewery in town or they serve local microbreweries from, you know, with a 10, 15, 20, 30 mile radius. So yep. I'm spoiled that way and I'm used to that now. So yeah, lack of beer choice just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So if you have any comments about Facebook ads or onboarding or autoresponders that you would like us to chat about more on the show, please send us an email, podcast@roguestartups.com. And if you have a minute, we'd love to hear from you with a review in iTunes. And we hope you have a great week. We'll see you soon.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.